This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.
Ladies and gentlemen,
it's the Backyard Knuckle Show.
Backyard Maker Show. Maker Show.
We speak that real.
Peace, 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 interweblians, beautiful people. Welcome to the Backyard Mecca Show, backyardmeccashow.com on the all-new Gorilla Podcast Network. Thank you for tuning in once again, interweblians, our beautiful supporters, man. Listen, I know you guys have been seeing that we haven't been dropping every Wednesday. Been a little bit busy, but we're about to get back on track, man. You know, we have a few shows on the network that are new to the network, and we also have the new studio that is about to be open in about a week or two, so please pardon that. But without further ado, man, we got a great, very interesting, very important show for you guys today with some great guests that are going to talk about what they do and the importance of it all, man. Please welcome my good friend Julian and his brother Christian. Fellas, welcome to the Backyard Mecca Show.
Thank you for having us over.
Thank you, man. Thank you for being here, man. Thank you for coming up and sharing your story. I think it's something very important. Not only your story, but the information that you're giving to the people is something that's priceless. You know what I mean? So, Julian, let's just get right into it, man. Just let the people know. You know, let's talk about your company real quick, man, and what you guys do, a little bit about what you offer.
Yes, thank you. First of all, thank you, Ricardo.
Absolutely, man.
We're very honored to be in the show, and we're thankful for the opportunity.
Absolutely, bro.
To be able to share our message here. Again, my name's Julian with my brother Christian, and together we have a small company, Velcar Multi-Services.
Velcar. Okay. Yeah,
it's our last names put together. Belis Carvajal.
Nice.
Belis is V-E-L. Easy, by the way.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because everybody spells Belez
with
A.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've gotten that. Yeah, so with Velcar Multi-Services, we provide a myriad of services for our community, Latino community. Not just Latino, anyone in general. Interpretation, translation. We provide services in certain documents for immigration, insurance. I mean, just a lot of services that are not as easy to come by, and we're like a one-stop shop for the community.
And what makes it even more dynamic and it gives it a twist is that there's an educational component that is kind of attached to those services.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Break that down. What do you mean as far as...
So, yeah, we kind of feel that... That the Latino community and the immigrant community has very pending issues, immediate issues that needs to be addressed. And my brother takes care of the immigrants aspect of it. and then I kind of address my business background, my education background, kind of address their business needs and also their education needs. So for example, in June, I'm going to launch a English course for small business owners.
Okay.
So this is not just like learning how to say A-E-I-O-U, okay, but more like you can log into our website and then, you know, take these courses and learn how to kind of move your business to the next level.
Okay, nice. Nice.
Well, what's also nice is that we provide a one-stop shop for our community. So you could think of us as like a AAA. Besides them providing a towing service, they have also other services that you can also use inside their company. And we have that same model going on here.
Okay.
Instead of going to one place to get one service done and then going to other four other places to get your other services. So we do everything.
One-stop shop.
One-stop, yeah.
That's so smart,
it's
just, man.
It's convenient. Yeah. You know, it's easier. You don't have to take a day off from work to work with us. Everything, most of our transactions or businesses, you can be done online. As a matter of fact, today I did a translation of a birth certificate for a friend of mine who lives down in Stanford. And it's hard for her to take a day off to come up to Bridgeport to my office to drop off the document and to translate.
Yeah, yeah.
So we take advantage of what we have, the internet. So she just scanned the copy, PDF, right to my email.
Smart.
Translated it and got it done, got it notarized, and I mailed it out to her. Boom.
And that's something important. I think we talked about it the other day that, you know, our people have to catch up. You know, and this yes. is, that's actually a way of, you know, using the internet and doing something like that instead of driving all the way from Stanford, wasting time, gas, and money.
Right.
One simple email.
Yeah, because back in the day, to get something like that done, you had to take the day off to drop off the document, then come back within a few days, again, take another day off just to go pick up the finished document.
Yeah.
And so we never actually saw each other. And that's the beauty of all this technology.
So you say now, as long also a part of your company, you do translations, correct?
Right, translations and interpretations. So just to give you a quick educational background, it's a term that gets confused very, very often. First day of interpretation school I went to, there is a difference between translation and interpretation. Translation is, for example, what I mentioned just now, that I translated a document from one language to the other. Okay. Interpretation is when it's in spoken form.
Okay.
So one service that I do provide is interpretation for an immigration interview. So let's say a client is applying for a visa or a citizenship and they need to go up to Hartford for an interview.
Yeah.
Then I would come in and interpret for them. So there's two different skills and two different services that we provide.
Okay. Now, it's, you know, this show is important to me because, you know, me, myself, my father is from Costa Rica and my mother's from El Salvador. I was born here. So just like you guys, you know, where you guys were born elsewhere and you had your family here, like it, what we see growing up isn't the typical American story, you know what I mean? We have to deal with seeing the struggles of our parents, and then we have to deal with being an American, right, being born here. Or, you know, for me anyway, I was born here, so that's the type of thing. So I want to ask you, and then I'm going to ask you next, Christian, so what got you interested in this? What made you want to follow this path for, you know, this type of work now that you do?
Yep. Well, two things come to mind to answer that question. First is, since growing up in a home, no one spoke English. I grew up in a home with my mother, my uncles, and they came here to work and have a better life. Mm-hmm. And so we were the only ones that knew English at home. My brother and I, we were in kindergarten, first grade, second grade. And even then, our English wasn't our first language. Spanish was, so we were still learning English, but that we were their resource. So they would take us to their doctor's appointments. They would take us to the bank, wherever they needed an interpreter. So we were unofficial interpreters since back in the day.
That's so crazy. And a lot of us, man. Most of us.
Yeah. The great majority of us. And even today, that still happens. I feel very proud that I was able to help them, even though my English wasn't what it is today.
But still, man,
you know, we got it done.
Yeah.
And then another instance that comes to mind is in high school, I used to, I was very attached to the ESL kids. Even though I wasn't part of that program, I used to participate a lot. And I remember the ESL teacher once approached me and she said, "You know, you're very lucky, you're fortunate that 70% of your classmates are undocumented and their lives are going to be very limited in terms of what decisions they're gonna be able to make for their careers. And so you need to take advantage of what you have and do something with that." And that stuck with me. You know, I finished high school 20 years ago, and that still stuck in my head like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
And those two instances come to my mind, and they really have been a catalyst to really help my community, and not just my family. I love to help, you know.
Yeah.
Even though this is my profession, it doesn't feel like I'm working. Yeah.
So it's something basically that was embedded in you since you were little.
Absolutely.
And what's important about that is, like we had mentioned earlier, you're doing something out of love for, you know what I mean, your people, your family. So you're not just collecting a check. You're really providing a real community service to these people that need it. Our people that need it.
Absolutely. You know, there's a peace of mind that my family and friends feel when I help them. For example, they need their visa's about to expire, their green card. Oh, can you help me fill out this paperwork?
Mm.
And a lot of people don't know this, but you really don't need an attorney for that.
Mm.
Attorneys are essential, but they're not needed for every single aspect of this process. And even though my brother and I aren't attorneys, we help out in ways that we are allowed to under the law. And if there's an attorney needed, we do have that resource available. We have attorneys that we work with for more serious cases.
Okay. And that's important, man. It's important to, you know, like you said, a lot of these immigrants or migrants that are coming here, they don't know that. They think they need a lawyer, mm-hmm. and that sometimes they're wasting money, and people, they get taken advantage of, you know what I mean?
My goodness,
and that's why it's important insane. What you guys are doing. You know what I mean? So, and that further lets me go over to you, Christian. How about you? Why is this your passion? I mean, why did you choose to take this path for helping people and this type of business and for what you're doing for your career?
Yeah, I mean, my brother's background are very similar. You know, I think my career chose me.
Okay.
I gravitated towards it. And so my English skills, you know, growing up was similar as my brother's. We had to translate for our parents, our family, our neighbors.
Mm.
And we did, you know, it's funny because we weren't allowed to speak English in our house.
Wow.
And in the Colombian culture, speaking proper Spanish is really important.
Okay.
So we knew how to, we knew all the conjugations as a little kid. And then we, of course, we were educated in the American system. So my brother and I had this unique ability to speak and write Spanish and English at a very high level.
Okay.
So that's helped me in my career.
Yeah, absolutely, man.
Not just to say I can speak English, but I can write professional documents. And so that's helped me to kind of further my career and provide a good quality service to people I serve.
Okay.
You know, and then I think also that having seen your family struggle because of being immigrants, you know, having seen like the dark moments that may arise from being an immigrant, you can you know, add an element to your service that you can't get anywhere else. When I help somebody, I see the pain in my mom, and so when I address their needs, I do it like I'm doing it to somebody I care for.
Like we said earlier, man, it's you're not just helping somebody to help them because it's your job, but you know, you were in those shoes, so you know what it's really like. Mm-hmm. So, and that's two different totally types of help, you know what I mean? Because you have help is always great, and people always try to help and do the right thing. But when someone has experienced what you're getting help in, I mean, there's nothing that can top that, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Now, Christian, real quick, let's talk about, when we were speaking briefly earlier, you had mentioned about school, when you signed up for school and your green card and stuff.
Oh yeah, it's a story. It's an interesting story. So,
yeah, it is.
When I was applying for, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, when you applied to financial aid, FAFSA, you had to show you a copy of your green card. You probably still do. Back in the day, it wasn't done online. There wasn't like FAFSA.com, but it was done on a long document, and it was very long. So my guidance counselor took my green card. She was helping me apply, and she says, "I want to show everybody at the lunch table, the other teachers, this." because they don't really understand that there are some of the Spanish speaking students are legal, and you're probably one of the ones, the only few ones that I have who are legal. So she did. She took me over and said, "Hey, I want you guys to meet Christian. Some of you already have been a student. He's actually legal. And look at his green card."
Yeah.
You know, so that's what back and a lot. It hasn't changed much. That really, I'm sure it hasn't changed much.
So it was a teaching moment, you know, for. She was basically letting, like you said, teaching them that, you know, some of these kids actually do have their cards.
Right.
So, yeah, that was important. I just want to, you know, go back to that because, you know, like you said, today they're probably still doing it.
Right. Yeah, you know, being an immigrant is a tough business. You know, you got to know the Spanish culture, where you're from, and you also got to navigate the whole kind of American culture.
Yeah.
So it's tough business.
It's a catch-22, man. It definitely is. Even with me, look, man, my father's from Costa Rica. My mother's from El Salvador. Mm-hmm. I was born here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my parents came here when they were already, you know, in their 20s type of deal. Mm-hmm. 18 years old, 20s. And they only spoke Spanish to me in the house. This is why I learned Spanish so quick and so well. Like, I could read, write, and speak it very well. Like, I can't say 100%, but, you know, I would say 90, 95. You know, I could read it fluently. I could write it. Might have a little bit of mistakes. I might miss a tilde here and there. But, you know, I learned that as well. And that's one of the things that stood out for me. And this topic is so important to me because, you know, I've been to El Salvador. I've been to Costa Rica. And I've seen things. And I see how the life is over there. And then, you know, I grew up here. I mean, I remember going to El Salvador for the first time. Well, not the first time because we were going since I was a kid, but I think one of the last times that I went, I was like 12 years old, man. And we went down to one of the markets and there was this little kid, had to have been like 2-3 years old, walking around with this white stuff in a bag and they were sniffing it. And I didn't know what it was. So, you know, being that I was young, I had to ask my aunt. I'm like, what's going on? What is this? So they kind of watered it down because they didn't want to tell me because I was young at the time, and they're just like, oh no, he's a poor kid. He's just looking for food and stuff like that or something like that. So you know, I always, all right, cool, slept under the rug. So long story short, years later, I brought it up to my aunt, and I'm like, what was that really? You know, because I didn't know what was going on. And I'm like, what was that kid doing? She was like, oh, he was getting high. He was sniffing glue. Now, when she first told me that, I'm like, wow, man, at that age, that sucks. Because it does, right? It's crazy. But then when she told me why he was doing it, that's what really crushed me. He was doing it to kill the hunger pains at that age, bro. Yep. And I think that right there changed my whole world, bro. Yep. That's what started self-mathematics for me. That's what has me doing this and, you know, getting into politics and stuff because I was born here and you don't see that. And then you go to a third world country and you see all the poverty and something like that.
It's a rude awakening.
Bro, it's a rude awakening. And that's why I do what I'm doing. And that's why I have you guys up here, man. And that's why it's an honor to have you guys up here to do what you're doing and try to share your story. And,
One of the things I'm most grateful for is that my mom would send us, since we were kids, every summer to Colombia. Mm. And we experienced those things as well. We saw many things that no one would even fathom of seeing in Connecticut, you know.
Especially
in Connecticut. And although they were heartbreaking at times, but those were moments that really help us figure out what really is important in our lives and really understand how privileged we are. Absolutely. To be where we are, live where we live. And okay, what are we going to do with all this information and education that we have attained?
Yeah.
And this is why we're here. We're that resource for the community.
Yeah, man. It's, bro, like you said, it's a culture shock. It's like a ill identity crisis where, you know, we know our culture a little bit. We know where we're from and then we live where we live at. But until you really see it and experience it, man, there's nothing like experience, bro. Oh my goodness, bro. And I was young, bro. I was young. So for me to come home and even explain that to my friends back here, like it's a whole nother world. Yeah. Like it's another realm. They can't
we're
even.
We're so sheltered here.
They can't even justify or understand it. Yeah, we are.
Like I'm here with my son right now and we live. You went to my house the other day.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even lock my doors. Mm-hmm. My neighbor says he's been living there for 20 plus years. He's never locked his doors.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember when my wife first came to this country, one of the first questions she asked me, she says, how come none of the windows have bars on them? I'm dead serious.
Yeah, that's how it is.
And I said, it's a little different over here. I mean, not everywhere. There's some places you go to and mm-hmm. you definitely need some bars. But the vast majority of where we live, we don't need that. And I'm grateful and honored. And this is how I like to give back to the people who are coming here. And they have no idea how to go about this world where we live in the States. You know, they're just trying. They want to be where we are. You know, they because they managed to get away from the harsh reality of living in a third world country, mm-hmm. and they have nowhere to turn to. And unfortunately, we have sharks out there that take advantage of these people, and just rape them mm-hmm. for every dollar they have. Yeah. And unfortunately, our people are willing to pull up every single saving amount, a dollar they've saved up to be able become legal or whatever it is they need.
Sometimes it's life and death situations, bro. They gotta get away.
And we just want to know that you're not alone. You know, you have people who are willing and honestly mm-hmm. willing to help you out. And we're just here to provide a service that you don't need to be taken advantage of.
Absolutely. I agree, man. You know, that's something, that whole taking advantage of thing, it's pretty disgusting, man. It's pretty disgusting because a lot of times it's not our people, but a lot of times it is, man.
Yes.
And when it is our people, that's a disgrace, bro. That's a disgrace that you yourself probably might have went through this whole situation, and you're going to try to dog your own people trying to, you know, save themselves. Man, that's just something very... disturbing. That's why it's important that, you know, that you guys are doing it the honest way.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, there's lots of companies out there, and we know many, man. Some of them are honest and some of them are not, man. And unfortunately, it's chasing that dollar, that paycheck, they turn, and it's almost like a sellout type of thing, you know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely. And I think that in life, I tend to believe, I'm very optimistic in general, and I tend to believe that there is more good in the world than bad.
Absolutely.
And I think the reason why we have this mentality, my brother and I, is because we've met a lot of people who have provided tremendous of help for us in our lives, countless amount of times, and that has also shaped our mindset, and we're just paying it forward right now.
Yeah. So, all right, we just want to back up a little bit because we were just talking about how, you know, the culture shock of how going to our countries and stuff like that is, man. And I feel even here, you know, a lot of the people that, you know, there's a lot of people that never been outside of the country, and they have so much opinions about immigrants in other countries and what's going on. And that's a lot of horseshit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And even with myself, I'm very vocal online. You know what I mean? I like to start conversation. Sometimes I'll just start a conversation. I'll put up a question or something, and I won't even respond. I'll just let people talk and go back and forth, man. But there's a lot of people that say, why are you so passionate about this immigration stuff? Or why are you so, you know, you're an American, you live here. And, you know, I tell people I am an American, I live here, but my roots and my blood comes from somewhere else. My parents came from somewhere else. I saw the struggle. I saw when my mom and dad had to work 2-3 jobs just because they don't have an education here. You know what I'm saying? My father, I think, he went up to 4th grade or something like that. My mother, same thing, 3rd grade. So to come here, bro, you're just coming here to push a broom pretty much, you know what I mean, at the end of the day. And that's what they did, house cleaning. You know, eventually they moved up, my dad, Walmart, stuff like that. But at the end of the day, a lot of the people don't really understand, man, why we're so passionate about helping our brothers and sisters that are migrants or immigrants, and why we talk about it and why we have the stance that we have. You know what I mean? It's deep, bro. Like, we understand and we've seen the struggles. What do you guys feel about that? I don't know who wants to tune in first about how kind of people like to downplay that a little bit, man, as far as, you know, because there's a lot of, in other words, there's a lot of American, no matter what, it could be a white American, black American, even Latino Americans that'll kind of throw shade on our situations or people trying to come up, man. I don't know. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Well, I feel like for the vast majority that do come here, there's a there's a lot of good essence, the ones who actually get here. They were saying that in Tijuana, Mexico, mm-hmm. there's a wall that separates Tijuana and U.S.
Okay.
And there were, a survey said that like 95% of the citizens of Tijuana want to move to the U.S.
Mm.
Now, the question is, why won't they just jump the wall?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So then it begs the question, then who actually does jump that wall? Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I think that to make that risk, it takes a special type of person.
Oh yeah.
To do it.
Oh yeah.
Okay. So, I think the ones who have gotten here, right,
mm-hmm.
are many of them are essentially good people, mm-hmm. and have good intentions.
Absolutely.
Now, there's always bad apples, of course, mm-hmm. and you know. Because of the
Everywhere.
Because of the bad apples, we get the bad. Most of them get the bad shade, you know. So that's how I feel. I think that essence of love mm-hmm. that's driven people here to make those risks, that's allow us to kind of progress and to flourish, even despite
absolutely
the shade that you talked about.
Yeah, because He, the whole bad apple thing, man, when it comes to the politics, you know how these politicians are. That's what they pick to push their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're not going to, you know, like Trump, for instance, you know, he's in office right now. And every time he was talking about, you know, the wall stuff and stuff, he's just saying, oh, there are a bunch of criminals, rapists and
mm-hmm. bad hombres.
You can't put everybody into one apple. There's bad everything everywhere. There's good everything everywhere.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, like. Right there, the whole Trump thing, like, you know, see how they're putting us in one bucket, like we're all like that. That's the battle that other people don't understand. Like, they hear that side, but they don't understand our side or what we've seen or what our people have gone through. You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah, I don't want to get too much into the political side of it, you know, but I just wanted to emphasize that there's a common thread.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever there's love involved. And, mm-hmm. and family decisions based on the better of your family, that's powerful. And I don't know if walls can stop that. I don't think
not at all. Not at all. Love can't be stopped. You know what I mean? Family can't be stopped. But it's I know you say you don't want to get into the political stuff. Mm-hmm. We do kind of get a lot into that here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you know, it's respectfully too, and unfortunately. Politics has a lot to do with the situations of our people. You know, basically, if it wasn't for the politics, man, you might not have an interpreting job to even help your people. You know what I mean? So that's the problem, man. And here's the thing with me. You know, people always say, like, I get the whole thing not crossing the wall. Like, what people say, oh, why don't they come here legally and this. Here's the thing, man. Some people are running from their lives. You know what I mean? So I can understand it. And then they say, oh, why don't you come legally and all that? Here's the other thing. My parents came here when they were like 20, 18 years old, right? That whole legally thing, man, is not as easy as it seems either.
Right.
Listen, my parents didn't get their papers until 35 years.
Wow.
35 years while being here on like work visas and staying here,
mm-hmm.
it took them 35 years to get their papers, man. So it's not as easy as just saying, oh, why don't they come here the right way? You know what I'm saying?
It's not like you're...
It's a lifetime.
Filling an application for, I don't know, like a work application.
Yeah.
It's not that simple, you know, and it really bothers me when I see a close friends of mine on social media posting just hate.
Yeah.
Just come here legally.
Yeah, yeah.
The law is the law.
Yeah, but then they don't even understand what they're really talking about though. The end, you know what I mean?
Well, you know, let me just chime in on that. I mean, we could make it political. There's no, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll there's go. No doubt about that.
Yeah.
But I want to be, very clear that, because I'm a Republican.
Okay.
Okay. But I don't like Trump.
Okay.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
And I feel like when we were growing up, my mom used to tell us, this ain't your country.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an American. We came here legally. So I always felt that.
Yeah.
So I always felt like there was a sense of that I had to walk on eggshells.
Mm-hmm.
And so I never got into trouble with the law. So I feel like there's some bad things that maybe that we shouldn't, some of us are not doing them, making us all look bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, that that need to be addressed too. You know,
no, absolutely.
So there's some of that going on too. But I also feel like as a Republican, and that there arose this political kind of movement that the power that moved it was hate.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the real Republican Party though. And then anything that propels with the power of hate has a strong start, but doesn't end well.
Absolutely, I agree. And Judy, are you Democrat, Republican?
I think we spoke about this some time ago, you and I, and I mentioned that I like certain aspects from both parties, but then there are other aspects from both parties again that I just don't like at all.
Yeah.
And I just can't decide on any of them. I'm right in the middle.
Okay.
Cause I do have a lot of conservative values. Family's very important to me. But then there are other values that I don't like about the Republicans.
Okay.
That, you know, that they're borderline, in my opinion, racist.
Mm-hmm.
At some point.
Straight up racist.
I guess straight up. And then, you know, when you have Democrats, I like how they help our community. I'll give an example. In this past election that we voted in Connecticut for our governor, one of the biggest issues for me, the most more important issues for me, was taxes.
Okay.
And how bad it's really gotten in the state. You know, a lot of people are leaving the state. Big companies are leaving the state.
It's getting ugly.
GE and Fairfield left. I mean, amongst other companies.
Diageo, the alcohol marketing company.
Yeah, and that creates a burden on us.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely I was very interested in the Republican candidate because of what he was trying to create here, more jobs, less taxes, and it seemed very appealing to me. However, taking into consideration the political situation with our people, I felt that they weren't looking out for our people. In what sense? That I've been a witness to ICE hanging out in courtrooms. And I kid you not, they were yelling out random names, Juan, Jose, Gomez, or they were looking for anyone who would yell out that answer to that name and snatch them up.
Wow.
Detain them.
Yeah.
And that's completely legal right now.
Crazy.
Because it's in a courthouse. It's a public courthouse. So I, even though taxes and bringing in business to Connecticut was important to me, I had a moral decision to make.
Mm-hmm.
Do I want to have a better lifestyle for myself here, or do I want to continue this process of mass deportation? So I went and voted for a Democrat. For the Democrat. Okay. And although it's not looking good in terms of what I was interested in terms of taxes, it's looking like it's going to get worse. But
that's the game, man.
I'd like to think that the Democrats are looking up a little bit more for us, for my people.
All right. Yeah, man. I wasn't trying to get it like, you know, Republican, Democrat type of thing. Like me myself, like we spoke about it. I'm neither. I just don't subscribe to the system, bro. I was telling Julian, like, if I see a problem in the community, I try to get people together and we try to fix it. Like, I don't know if you ever heard about the Flint water that's going on in Flint.
Yeah.
In 2005, I organized the community and we took over 3,000 cases of water and handed them out in the community one by one to each house. We got people involved. They're donating waters. We got a truck donated by Enterprise. That's the type of work I like to do. I don't subscribe. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not a Green Party. I'm not a socialite. My politics and religion is love. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, so that's here nor there. I don't want to keep going into that because I feel like we're going to take away from what you guys, the help that you do. So I want to kind of get back into that. So let's kind of talk about what's going on right now, the climate, the political climate, as far as what are our people facing right now, as far as, you know, getting deported and shut down and visas aren't being accepted and things like that. Like, what's your take on that, guys? I don't know who wants to go first.
Well, what I can say is quickly, unless you've been living under a rock, this is all over the news, all over social media. I mean, it's out there, whether you like, you're not into politics or not. And it is evident that our people are getting the short end of the stick.
Yeah.
And
now, do you think it's because of this administration especially, or it's been going on for who knows how long? Because obviously this dude in office is pushing his...
Well, you know what, though? I think that maybe the previous administration was not so vocal about it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
There was an undercurrent of that, you know.
Right.
But there is an element to this administrative that maybe is not as aggressive as far as the numbers goes.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a sore aspect about it.
Okay,
you know it's stinging to the soul if you're part of the community.
Yeah,
right. And so that's disgusting, pretty much, you know. And how they kind of created this paradigm that exists right now that we have. When you call us rapists, when he said Mexican, by the way, he didn't really say Mexican. He said the whole that's what he, you know, sometimes we do that too, by the way.
We
Latinos, we say chinos.
We mean
all Asians.
We
do the same
thing. He meant all Latinos. He meant all indigenous. Absolutely. So what do you think, by him doing all that and just the laws period, let's just say not even him in the circle, just what's being pushed right now, whether it was him or not, how is this affecting our people, our immigrants?
Right. Can we talk about that? It's created another level of discomfort.
Fear.
Right? That
fear mongering, yeah.
Let me just tell you what really, my wife just became a citizen.
Okay.
Okay. And through her process of becoming a citizen, she was legal.
Okay.
But I just had this unhealthy sense of impending doom that's going to happen to her. She might get deported. And it never happened, but the atmosphere that's right now we live in, that's what we're breathing in. This negative impending doom that started from the mouth of one person.
Yeah.
That it's made a toxic environment for all Latinos. Mm-hmm.
And so, all right. So let me ask, what ways has it made the progress, or the protocol is the word I'm looking for. What way has the protocol for becoming a citizen, how has it become harder with what we're going through right now? Either or.
Yeah. Well, I know that the waiting times are getting longer.
For sure. Yeah. Sure. And I think another issue that has risen from this is people are fearful. I'll give you a prime example.
Mm-hmm.
The state of Connecticut is one of few states in the nation that offers driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's amazing. That's great, because a lot of them, before this opportunity came to be, we're driving around unregistered cars, unlicensed, and it created a whole deal of issues. And I came across most of my people, fellow immigrants, they were so happy, and they went and they got their licenses, and they're still going. And this is it's been such a successful program that people have to wait a whole year just to take their exam. They make an appointment and they have to wait a whole another year. And then there are people who are so afraid, they think this is a scam. Mm. They think this is a ploy, because they say, well, if I register myself and I get this so-called driver's license, they're going to use that in the future against me, because now they know I'm here illegally.
Yeah.
So no, I'm not getting that license. Yeah. So there's this fear.
Yeah.
And I want the people out there who are listening to know that there is nothing to be scared about. That we have laws in place, and you have rights that protect you.
Right, and that's your opinion, right? And that's right. But there's others, right, who say, you know what, Julian, what you were saying was echoed in DACA. Now they hijacked DACA, and they might use it against the Dreamers. So the political party that the Republicans, they hijacked it, and it was supposed to be a safe haven if you apply it to the Dreamers, and now if it doesn't work out, you know, now they're using it as a chess game with them. Okay. You know, so a lot of recipients or the Dreamers are saying, yeah, you told us that too, that we can apply, we're gonna be all good, you know. Mm-hmm. But so that's the climate we live in right now.
All right, so two things. Just because some of our interweblians or people listening might not know what DACA is, can you real quick just give a brief history of what it is?
So through the Obama administration, they created a program that allowed the so-called Dreamers, people who, it wasn't their fault that they were here. Mm-hmm. They came here as children.
Yeah.
And so they gave them this temporary status where they can go to school and, you know, not have to worry about getting deported, you know, because of the choice that the parents, you know.
Okay.
And it's been very successful.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people through this program have been able to go to college and start, you know, professional careers. And then, unfortunately, right now, the program was hijacked.
Yeah, explain it. I was going to ask you that. What do you mean by hijacked?
So, the current president, Trump, said that, you know, he's using that as leverage. He's saying, okay, you give me that wall, and I won't take away, I won't deport DACA.
Hmm. Yeah.
You know, in a nutshell.
Pretty much. Wow.
But then there are, and all that is a very valid point. You can also argue that there are certain areas, like New York, for example, and New Haven, in here in Connecticut, and when I say New York, I mean New York City, who really have, they really protect their own people, regardless
of their Los Angeles situation.
Mm-hmm. In this country, and they really protect their people, and I really commend the city of New York for these programs they offer.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I heard not too long ago that they're starting a program where they're even going to offer health insurance to anyone regardless of their situation in this country. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing, I'm all for that. Mm. I'm all for that because these people, that's what they want. They just want to be a part of society.
Yeah. Without being fearful of.
Right. They want to work. They don't care if they have to scrub toilets. Mm-hmm. They scrub toilets with so much pride. Yeah. As a matter of fact, I saw a video not too long ago, situation in Venezuela. Almost everyone knows what's going on.
Yeah.
And not to go into that particular situation, that's a whole different story.
Yeah.
But there's a guy who lives here, and he works cleaning bathrooms for a living. He cleans, and he is he's trying to refute statements that the current Venezuelan president makes about people who leave Venezuela to come here to clean toilets, like it's degrading. And he says, no, that's not degrading.
Yeah.
You see, I scrub toilets, but I can actually make money so that I can buy food. I make money so I can have an apartment. I actually have money to pay for a car.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that with you, Mr. President, Señor Maduro. You know, and they come here because this is what they're looking for, that American dream. And I love cities like New York and New Haven and Bridgeport, these refuge cities that take care of our people. I love that. You know, it fills me with great pride that there are places like that still exists.
It's definitely it's definitely a safe haven, like your brother said, man, and I think it's needed, absolutely. Because like you said, there's a lot of fear-mongering. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's scary, man, to live in like that, feeling like you can't go anywhere because you might get deported, right, or something like that. Something I kind of wanted to get into, mm-hmm, was how they were taking away the kids, man. Mm. Like, can we talk about that, man? I want to know your guys, what you guys feel about it. And, you know, what can parents do in that position that did get their kids taken away? Like, so, you know, like, once you get your kid taken away, what is the progress? What is the process of getting them back? You know what I mean? Like, can we talk about that?
We are not experts in that very sensitive realm.
Mm-hmm.
However, as I did mention earlier, we do work with expert attorneys in, okay, immigration laws. But what I can say is that you have rights when you're in here that can help you. And if you have been a law-abiding citizen, despite you being a quote-unquote undocumented immigrant,
mm-hmm,
there are chances that a good attorney can really help you.
Mm-hmm.
I've interpreted in immigration cases where amazing attorneys come out and defend you with tooth and nail and provide excellent results. And having your own kid taken away and locked up in a cell doesn't look good for the country.
Yeah, not at all.
That's not what this country's about.
Right. And you know, so cuz we're here basically trying to tell the community, and now that with the internet, we're like one community now. We're not just like the Fairfield County community. Like,
hey, yeah,
you know, if you're in Alaska or in Hawaii, mm-hmm, you know, this makes sense to listen to this podcast.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, it's an incredible complex reality we live in now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you need to find resources in the community who can give you the heads up and give you sound advice and sound counseling. And we feel that we are we have those resources, we have those experiences, and we understand the political climate,
mm,
to be able to address your needs efficiently.
Absolutely, man. I agree, man. Like you said, it's needed. Like, we're in Connecticut, but somebody listening in Arizona, California, mm-hmm, can take this same information and it could be helpful, mm-hmm, for them. You know what I mean? So this is it's a grand service that you guys provide. And you know what I like? I like the fact that you guys didn't agree on everything. Like, you guys have certain views, and that just shows the unbiased work that you guys are doing together, and you're making a strong entity from that to help people. So that, you know, you guys are just showing that you're coming together for the people, you know what I mean? Regardless if you think one way and you think the other. And that's
it's
huge.
It's not about us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about Christian Velez. It's not about Julian. You know,
absolutely.
There's something out there that's bigger than us, and we want to be a part of that positive force to help others. You know, and that's something that was also ingrained in our lives. I remember our home in Norwalk, growing up on Ely Avenue, it was a home where many of not only our family members came to for the first time,
mm-hmm,
or where they set foot, but also other friends of our family that came for the first time, people from the neighborhood back in Columbia, they would come to the house. You know, we had a two family house,
mm-hmm,
and I remember, I don't know how many people came to that house for the
first 100.
Yeah, mm-hmm, and this is where they would come to for the first time in the States. This is where their first place was, where they lived.
Yeah.
And from there, our family would help them find jobs, and eventually they would take off on their own. And that is beautiful.
It is.
This is this. That's what it's all about.
It is. It is.
Because that, and it all started with my grandmother. My grandmother came here in the 70s, and she bought that house for my family, for my uncles, my mom, for us. And this the sense of brotherly love was brought over, and it was passed on. And I can only imagine that the people, the vibes that were touched in that house where we grew up, I think, I just hope that was passed on, that was paid forward,
yeah,
wherever it is, wherever it is that they may be right now. And that's what we want to continue providing, just helping out, you know. Maybe we don't have that, we don't live in homes where people arrive for the first time,
yeah,
but we have ingrained in our minds that need to help others.
Absolutely. So real quick, let the people know again what your company offers so we could just refresh your memory, because you know we're almost an hour in. Mm-hmm. So I just want them to kind of be refreshed. What is it that you provide as far as services, guys?
So my brother addresses the immigration services that, you know, that is that either can be translation interpreting. I help people with starting businesses, registering their businesses. You know, I specialize in insurance and also education consulting. So in about 6 months, I'm starting an online program for small business owners.
That's great, man.
To learn business English.
Okay.
And pretty soon we're also going to incorporate real estate. And for those of you who are listening and have family members who don't have legal status in this country, just so you know, just because they don't have legal status does not mean they cannot buy a home. I have plenty of friends who don't have legal status and they own beautiful homes, and
that's interesting.
That's another service
you would think different, right?
Yeah, right. So
we're gonna be providing,
right? So our services kind of address the needs of immigrants today in 2019. Okay. So if we can't help you, we have you know, a collection of a network.
You could guide
you know, them. And we try to guide you to people who have their best interests, not just to, you know, looking out for their wallet.
Yeah,
right. Absolutely. So for example, if you need to you have the possibility of marrying someone who's a U.S. citizen, even though you don't have legal status, there's a process for that.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those components is you need a medical, a physical checkup from a authorized medical provider with immigration.
Okay.
And we work with a doctor who is authorized to provide those services. And if, for example, if you have a very delicate situation where a family member is going through a possible deportation case, we work with a very experienced attorney who can help you with that particular case, because obviously we're not the doctor, we're not the attorney, but we are that source,
the helping hand
that can guide you through that situation you may be going through.
Give your social media or your website, whatever you have, so the people can contact you guys, man. Because again, we have listeners from not just the country, but all over the world, man. People tuning in, so please let them know.
Velcar Multiservice Solutions.com.
Can you just spell that?
Okay, Velcar VELCAR Multiservice Solutions.com.
Okay,
we're on Facebook as well, same name. Instagram, same name. Look us up, you know, give us a like, give us a shout out if you have questions. And again, this is 2019. If you have a certain service that you need to be done and it's hard for you to take a day off, just message us and we'll make it work. I don't know if I mentioned this earlier, but today I did a translation service for a friend of mine who was down at Stanford, and she worked in a very busy medical office, and it's hard for her to take the day off. So what we did, she had to renew her daughter's passport. So she just emailed me a copy, a PDF of her daughter's birth certificate. I bagged it out, and mail that out to her.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. And she never had to come all the way up to Bridgeport for that. Take to the back in the day, you had to take a day off just to drop off the document, mm. and another day to go pick up the document.
Yeah.
So you're saving time and money with us as well, and that, you know, efficiency is what it's all about nowadays.
Absolutely.
You know.
So before we go, Julian, what's any last words, man? Any you know, what does this mean to you, man? You know, not just as a business person, but as an individual who has gone through this firsthand. You know, what does providing something like this mean to you, man?
This is a dream come true, hands down, for me. I love to help my community. It brings me great satisfaction, and I've done a lot of work where I don't even charge for the work,
mm-hmm.
because I know what it is to not be able to afford these services. And if you can't afford the services, we'll work something out, because it's not, I'm not trying to get rich off of this.
Yeah.
I really love what I do. I have my own profession as an interpreter, and I make my own income off of that, and I make a decent wage off of that. But I just want to help. This is what it's all about. With all that's going on in the world, that's so difficult to handle. We want to be that particular light where you can, that source that you can come to, and at least have your questions answered. And if we can't help you, because if it's beyond our expertise,
yeah.
we can guide you to that right person.
Okay. Great, man. How about you, Christian? Any last words on, you know, what your goal is, man, and what this means to you?
You know, my goal is to be able to create and develop a digital space.
Okay.
Where someone can, who has a pending issue with their immigration status or their educational questions or their business questions, who may not speak English or speak a little bit English,
mm-hmm.
can reach out to us leveraging the internet and get their questions answered. You know, and it's gonna create, add value to their lives. I hope to create to create content out there, educational content, financial content that really hits home. And after that, they listen to our podcast and our information, our workshops, they can make important decisions that really affect their lives in a positive manner.
Absolutely. Great, man.
If I could just add one more thing.
And yeah.
I think what we shared today mm-hmm. is, it's in a nutshell what we have to offer.
Oh, yeah.
Educationally. And it's because of that reason, and through you, Ricardo, that we're going to start our own podcast.
Which is amazing.
Informational podcast. And it's going to be not just talk about immigration, but we're going to talk about just everything that a migrant needs when they mm-hmm. come here, whether it be immigration, insurance, if you need help to save for your college, your kids' college fund, real estate. I work with so many different people who are relevant somehow in this realm, that we're going to bring in guests to really just create an awareness in the community, and not just for the Latino community, but for anyone, because there are people like Eastern Europeans mm-hmm. who don't get the limelight like we do, but they are
same deal, yeah,
you know. So we're here for everyone.
Yeah, man. And you know, I think that's great that you're gonna do that, because obviously a lot of your shows will be in Spanish, so
yes,
you know, the Latino immigrants, the Hispanic immigrants can understand, you know, because I know people are probably thinking, why are they doing this show right now in English if the people that they're trying to reach can't understand? But you know what? The people that are hearing also need to understand what's going on too, so that's why we're doing it. But you know, like, you know, you let the cat out the bag. You guys will be joining the Gorilla Podcast Network, which is great, and I think it's gonna be a great informative show, man. And I welcome you guys. We'll definitely get that going soon.
Déjenle saber a sus amistades y a sus familiares que vamos a ayudarlos de la mejor manera posible.
And let me finish with this. Like my friend Sammy used to say, Si usted luce bien, yo luzco mejor.
Listen, fellas, man, thank you for coming up. It was a pleasure having you. Thank you for real, thank man, because this is you. An important topic. That's something dear to me. And thank you for doing what you guys are doing, man, because it's a great, not just public service, but a humanitarian service, man, as human beings. So thank you for that.
It was our pleasure.
Interweblians, tune in to their social media. You heard the website. You heard the social media. Don't forget, tune in to the Gorilla Podcast Network to catch other shows, to actually catch the fella shows coming up. Don't forget the Backyard Mecca on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And once again, my beautiful people, remember, if you could accumulate a thought in your mind, that means it is out there. And if it is out there, all you have to do is go get that shit. Peace.
Pórtense bien, hijo de putas, que nada les cuesta.
Triste se oye la lluvia en los techos de cartón. Qué triste vive mi gente en las casas de cartón. Arrastrando los pasos por el peso del sufrir. Mira que mucho sufrir. Mira que pesa el sufrir. Arriba, deja a la mujer preñada. Abajo está la ciudad y se pierde en su maraña. Hoy es lo mismo que ayer, es un día sin mañana, es un día sin mañana. Niños color de mi tierra, con sus mismas cicatrices, millonarios de lombrices. Y por eso, qué tristes viven los niños. En las casas de cartón, qué alegres viven los perros. Casa del explotador, usted no lo va a creer, pero hay escuelas de perros y les dan educación pa' que no muerdan los diarios. Pero el patrón hace muchos, muchos años que está mordiendo al obrero. Tristes viven los niños.
las casas de cartón.
Tune in next week for another episode of the Backyard Mecca Show podcast. This is a Gorilla Podcast Network production.